The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Mr. Constitution Hour. This is the first episode of the new year. It is 2024. Welcome to the program. And in the last program, the last one of the year, the night before New Year's Eve, I began going through a review of 2023. We got from January to July. So we're going to pick up where we left off from. This is part two, the year in review, part two, 2023, the year behind us. 2024 is the year ahead of us. And looking forward to what happens this year. Now remember, this program is funded by you. The reason why we're able to stay on the air is you. So if you want to help out, go to douglasvgibbs.com and become a patron. $9 a month. Gives you the opportunity to support what I do, my efforts. Plus, also as we expand our efforts, there will be membership exclusive items available for you once we get all that in play. Or if you want to just do it through PayPal, paypal.com, PayPal me, Douglas V. Gibbs, that's paypal.com/PayPal me/Douglas V. Gibbs, Venmo, Douglas Gibbs 3 with a hyphen in between each of those. So it's Douglas hyphen Gibbs hyphen 3. Venmo, Douglas hyphen Gibbs hyphen 3. And then I'll ask you for the last four of my number, 3975. 3975. Or if you want to donate through Zelle, DouglasVGibbs@yahoo.com. DouglasVGibbs@yahoo.com. I do have a Stripe account up yet. I do have a Stripe account up as well, but I don't have all the data on that. We'll get it to you as soon as we can. Also, if you go to DouglasVGibbs.com and go to the blog, every once in a while I put a donation graphic on the post there. So look for that. And there's also a Venmo QR code for that. Anyway, so help fund the efforts. Help fund what we're trying to do here, because we've got, and with this new year, we've got the KMET show is in at risk of not being funded and being lost. So we're trying to raise as much money as we can for that. All right, so now back to the 2023 year end, year in review. And I left off talking about how yours truly, Douglas V. Gibbs, had the opportunity to travel to Washington, D.C. on Independence Day, July 4th, 2023. I was a speaker at an event at the Jefferson Memorial. I read a portion of the Declaration of Independence. Forgot the video, but we still haven't gotten it up on the air or up on the internet just simply because of issues when it comes to equipment. Another reason to donate and help us have the equipment to do what we need to do. Also, during that time, apparently there was some White House cocaine. There was some cocaine found in the White House, and I joked around about it, and I said, I promise it wasn't mine. Hunter Biden is of the assumption. Meanwhile, Moore v. Harper, the case that went before the Supreme Court, which was a battle over does the states have, state legislatures have sole election authority? And according to the Constitution, they do, Article 1, Section 4, or can a court strike down what they decide? And in this case, it was regarding North Carolina and the way some the lines were redrawn, and they use the Voter Rights Act, which was an unconstitutional law, and said, no, the courts can strike down your decision. So state legislature, you don't have the power you think you do. The courts are your overlords. affirmative action also went to the United States Supreme Court, but affirmative action got struck down. Driver's licenses to illegals in other states were made invalid in Florida. on the surface, it sounds like a good thing. Hey, those illegal aliens shouldn't have a license. The whole reason for it is to get them to vote, right? Because a lot of these states, most of these states, if not all of them, that are doing this, where they're issuing driver's license to illegal aliens, have motor voter laws. You get a license, you're automatically, because computer doesn't know the difference, you're automatically registered to vote. It is a voter fraud scheme is really what it is. And Florida said, okay, well, if you're going to issue licenses to illegal aliens, other states, those licenses are not valid in Florida. So if they drive into our state and they have a license from your state, but it was issued to an illegal alien, it's not valid. The United Nations Artificial Intelligence Summit happened during July of 2023, and the AI, when asked, and when it went through its... When the AI was asked what they would do to help run a better world for humans, it said it will rule the world. So, welcome AI. I thought we learned with the Terminator and all that stuff, you know, the dangers of AI, but then I digress. The international there was an international abandonment of the U.S. dollar. The SCO nations abandoned the dollar and shifted to domestic currencies for financial transactions. We also have BRICS doing something similar, and the oil and all of that. The dollar is being abandoned. Eventually, we will stop being the world reserve currency. When that happens, everything crashes. The Sound of Freedom emerged as a box office winner. Great movie. It was Sound of Freedom, Jim Caviezel, a sex trafficking thriller. And it not only was a box office winner and did really well, it even outdrew Indiana Jones. So, and that was interesting in its own right. So, let's see. So, what I'm doing here, for those of you who have just tuned into the program, is my name is Douglas V. Gibbs. I am Mr. Constitution, and we are going through the year. Last episode, the first half of the year, 2023, year in review. Right now I'm in July, and we're down to almost finishing off July. But I want to talk about when I was, and I mentioned this a moment ago, when I was in Washington, D.C. at the Jefferson Memorial on July 4th, because something happened interesting. I was there for a special event and included the reading of the Declaration of Independence. I was the final reader. And at the event, I had the blessed opportunity to meet a number of really, really great people, cool people, including actors portraying Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Frederick Douglass, and Abraham Lincoln. And of those characters, I recognize the importance of three of them being present, and Lincoln's presence slightly confused me. This is about the Declaration of Independence. Why would Lincoln be there? He's like 100 years later. Anyway, Thomas Jefferson was an incredibly important figure regarding Independence Day because he was the author of the Declaration of Independence. George Washington was important because he was the commander-in-chief of the American forces during the War for Independence. And Frederick Douglass was important since he was a defender of the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution once he educated himself and realized that they were documents designed to begin the process of the abolition of slavery. Abraham Lincoln, however, during his political career, stood in opposition to the Republican form of government as it was originally designed, ignoring the enumeration doctrine, which is supported by the 10th Amendment. The separation of powers is supported by the word vested in the first three articles of the Constitution, and the sovereignty of the states when it came to their voluntary membership of the Union, of which he viewed as being a firm union, which in his mind made the use of secession by the 11 states that departed from the Union to form the Confederate States of America an illegal and treasonous action. At the event in Washington, D.C. on July 4th, in addition to the reading of the Declaration of Independence, the actress provided short speeches. And when the actor portraying Abraham Lincoln took the microphone, he discussed the importance of the Union and the concept that all men are created equal. His presentation was a mixture of his own words, of Lincoln's own words, plus bits and pieces from various speeches presented by the 16th president. So in other words, a presentation, a mixture of the actor's words and words from various speeches presented by the 16th president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, before the war between the states and during it. And I recognize most of those lines. As a historian, I have read all of Abraham Lincoln's writings and speeches and all of that. And at one point, when the actor playing Lincoln called the United States a democracy, I was pretty sure the line he was regurgitating was actually one during which the original Lincoln called the United States a republic. Now, I'm not suggesting that Abraham Lincoln was a champion of republicanism in the sense that the word was meant by the founding fathers, because for the most part, he was not. In fact, largely due to his political influence, the United States changed from the United States are, the Union of States, a republican form of government with independent states that are members of a voluntary union governed by a federal system with only limited authorities granted to and recognized by the central government, to the United States is a national form of government with dependent states who are members of a firm union ruled over by a national government under which all power has been consolidated and the states are mere provinces. That said, while he was not perfect in his understanding of the American system and he desired to move us toward an oligarchy, I seem to remember that he called the, and I say he, meaning the original Abraham Lincoln, he called the United States a republic more often than a democracy. According to the Friends of Lincoln collection, in the vast collected writings of Abraham Lincoln, the word democracy occurs just 137 times. I have no number for the usage of the word republic in his speeches and writings, but I believe it to be greater. In the Gettysburg Address, Lincoln called the government of the United States a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. One might recognize that particular explanation as possibly being an indirect way of saying that the United States is a democracy. Early on, those who stood against America's federal republic being constructed in such a manner to preserve liberty and limit the powers of the federal government by promoting oversight over the federal government by the states recognized that that state sovereignty and the enumeration doctrine, federal authorities limited to only powers expressly enumerated in the U.S. Constitution, as being among the main obstacles standing in the way of their statist goals. Democracy was the key to dismantle those mechanisms. So from the very beginning, the history of the American political system is filled with battles that ushered into motion a gradual democratization of the American Republic. Andrew Jackson was the president who took that progression and kicked it into high gear by dismantling a number of mechanisms of republicanism, including the fact that originally there was no popular vote when it came to the Electoral College. Because of this rise of Jacksonian democracy and the once Jeffersonian Republic Party, at that time changed its name to the Democratic Republicans and then to the Democratic Party. Andrew Jackson is the father of the modern Democratic Party. Lincoln never really explicitly said that the United States was a democracy, however, because at that point, democracy was still a political system that was largely recognized as being dangerous if left unfettered and able to roam the halls of government without checks and balances typically associated with a republican form of government. In the presidential elections of this time, Lincoln was not exactly assisted by democracy anyway. While he did indeed receive a larger share of the popular vote than any of the other four candidates running for in the election of 1860, he did not get over 50% of the national popular vote. It was the not-so-democratic mechanisms of the Electoral College that carried him over the finish line. Getting back to the original point of this article, it was not that Lincoln made a big deal about the difference between a democracy or a republic, but that in the particular speech that the actor was reciting, I remember the word republic being used in the original speech by the president rather than the word democracy. In a conversation later with someone about it, the response I received from the person who is not necessarily a fan of the Constitution was kind of surprised. The actor may have replaced republic with democracy because the word republic is offensive. My reaction was, what? How could the word republic be offensive? When we recite the Pledge of Allegiance, don't we do so to the republic for which it stands? For years, I've been commenting on how the founding fathers never intended the country to be a democracy. 5 times in the Federalist Papers, James Madison explains the difference between a republic and a democracy because the Hamiltonian forces calling for a consolidation of power in the federal government were claiming there was no difference between the two. My latest book, when I which I wrote in the hopes of helping people understand the difference between a republic and a democracy. It's called Repeal Democracy. Democracy is not a proper word for the United States. It is the problem. Yet throughout the mainstream media, academia, political class, and in the lexicon being used by the general public, the word democracy is the most common label for our system of government. Drives me nuts. And now I'm being told that the word republic is offensive. Of course it is. The people working to fundamentally change the United States into something the framers of the Constitution never intended recognize that to turn America into an oligarchy, they must first put in place a pure democracy. All republican mechanisms must be obliterated. And any thoughts that we are supposed to be a republic must be shot down and eliminated. What better way to kill something than to accuse it of being offensive? Especially in a culture where oversensitivity to saying things that might offend someone is being targeted and canceled faster than one could try to figure out a way to explain that it isn't offensive in the first place. It is no surprise that Karl Marx, in not so many words, but essentially through his writing, said that democracy is the road to socialism. The word democracy does not appear in the Constitution. It does not appear in the Declaration of Independence, not even once. The Founding Fathers recognized the folly of too much democracy. Yes, there were some democratic procedures mixed into our unique form of government as established by the United States Constitution, such as the election of the members of the House of Representatives at the federal level. At the state level, the elections of governors and the state House of Representatives were also performed in a democratic manner. However, pure democracy was not applied to presidential elections, Senate elections, judicial posts, state Senate seats, or many other posts considered to be high offices. Why? Because too much democracy always leads to 51% of the population voting away the rights of the other 49%. John Adams quipped at there has never been a democracy that didn't commit suicide, and in the Federalist Papers, James Madison explained that democracies are short in their lives and violent in their deaths. Yet now we have strayed so far from the original intent of the Constitution that when someone calls us a democracy, it's accepted as the truth without much opposition. The enemy knows that democracy is their road to tyranny, so they have used the centuries to maneuver us into a position where calling the word republic offensive is not only accepted, but if someone like me says otherwise, it is relatively easy then to label such an offender as being using offensive speech, and that such a person is a conspiracy theorist who dares to say things that is not acceptable, not only in the public domain, but is rejected by folks who are credentialed. Have a long list of alphabet soup after their names because, you know, of all of the faulty education they received. Despite all of that, I say again, we were designed to be a republic, not a democracy. Democracy is the problem. Anyway, so that's one of the things that got me going out there when it comes to my visit to Washington, D.C. last July. And, I enjoyed it. It was a great opportunity. It was a blessed opportunity to participate in a ceremony with a bunch of fantastic people, like I said. My KMET co-host, Alan Myers, whose idea a decade ago became reality with this event, was there with me, as well as a chaplain in the United States Army, two medical professionals, an FDNY hero who was one of the firefighters at the collapse of the Twin Towers in New York City on 9/11 in 2001, and a National Park law enforcement officer and a young Asian college student. I was the final reader providing the grand finale when it came to the reading of the Declaration of Independence there at the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C. Now, when we talk about going through the year, and that was July, I'm going to get in August the 2nd, understand I had a few other things come up, and I think one of my favorite things about the year was in September when I got the chance to go to Michigan. We'll get to that in a minute. All right, so we're done with July. And so now we need to move on to the month of August. Now, August was an interesting month for me because August is also the month of my wedding anniversary. My wife and I celebrated 39 years, and, you know, marriage is what it is. You know, we struggled our first 21 years, and then the next decade and a half, was also a struggle, but not as great. And now, as of the summer of last year, our marriage has kind of come full cycle, and we're kind of, you know, in love in the way that we were when we first met. And so we have evolved, we have grown, we have matured. It's an interesting process. So 39 years of marriage last August. This August will be 40 years. We plan to do some traveling for our 40th anniversary. We'll see how that works out. In August of 2023, I began teaching U.S. history at the Freedom of Choice Student Center Homeschool in Vista, California. That has been an incredible experience. I will be teaching there until the middle of June. Middle of June is when school year is over. I've had a great time. We went through the Magna Carta all the way up to right now. We just finished with the Revolutionary War and the Declaration of Independence, Constitution. So in the next couple of weeks, we'll be learning about the years between the Constitution and the election of Jefferson. And then the semester ends. And then in the second semester, we're going to talk about 19th century America. Definitely a rewarding experience to teach. Been teaching homeschool high schoolers and middle schoolers since 2014, actually. And I've, you know, taught with different ISPs and co-ops and things like that. But this is the first time where I've had a classroom setting in a pure sense. I have my own classroom. The kids come to class. In the past with these programs, I'd be in the sanctuary of a church or in the dining room of one of the moms, you know, with like a dozen kids or half a dozen kids, you know, stuff like that. This is the first time where it's an actual classroom. So it's been kind of nice this year. I've enjoyed this school year with that opportunity. All right, so continuing through August of 2023, this is 2023 Year in Review Part 2. Went through the first half of the year last week here on KPRZ, KPRZ.com, or the platform, the podcast platform you're listening to this program on. Mr. Constitution Hour by Douglas V. Gibbs is all you got to do to look it up. iHeartRadio, Spotify, Odyssey, Audible, Listen Notes. Amazon Prime, iHeartRadio, they all carry my show. And so just type in Mr. Constitution Hour by Douglas V. Gibbs and you'll find it. All right, so in August, what emerged was that parents became the new domestic terrorist enemy. The federal government and local governments, the states, they all began to target parents. And they began to shame parents for teaching their children religious faith. And in California, Temecula, which is right by where I live, the governor of California, Newsom, put that school board in his crosshairs and sued the Parent Teachers Union for their ban of the CRT. So the parents and teachers in Temecula banned CRT being taught in the classes, and Newsom targeted them and went after them for daring to go against the narrative that the Democrats are pushing. Well, what about localism? What about local control? You know what? Right before the end of the year, on December 28th, if you go to politicalpistachio.com, I wrote an article titled Localism. Check it out. All right, so they also began to, through this process, not only attack parents, and Jack Smith continuing to attack Trump with his indictments, which was an attack on political speech. But then also we saw, this continuing censorship of Truth and Morality, how the Biden White House used Facebook to censor Americans, how a clinic who pushed and used transgenderism and did the transgender surgeries turned away a cancer patient for a hurtful comment that was not in line with what they believed. They're turning away patients for being Christians, in other words. The Biden administration quietly purged more than 400 reporters from the White House briefing room. And they show that they are willing to do anything to stop Donald J. Trump in 2024, despite the fact that they're cutting their nose off to spite their face. So as we move forward in our timeline here, let's move on to a latter part in August. I'll take that back. Let's go to September. September was very exciting for me. First of all, in September is Constitution Day. That's when I am most busy. It's when I speak around the country. I speak in engagements out here. I'm setting up speaking engagements in Southern California for this coming September. Now, as a matter of fact, I already have I'll be speaking at Fallbrook on September 13th. And so that's important to me. But September 13th, that's an anniversary we ought to know about. That's where the story of the Star-Spangled Banner begins. In 1814, the British conducted a full raid against the Washington, D.C. The Americans were unprepared to defend the capital. No fort, breastwork, or battery had been built. The move by the British was in retaliation of the burning of York in England the year before. The British marched unchecked to the city, and then they burned the capital, the White House, although it was not called the White House yet at that time, the Treasury, the Library of Congress, which means a lot of the paperwork went up in smoke for history, and other federal buildings. President Madison and his cabinet took refuge in Virginia. On the evening of August 24, as the White House was aflame, Madison's wife, Dolly Madison, returned to the building, the White House, rescuing the original portrait of George Washington and the original copy of the Declaration of Independence. A few days later, Baltimore was attacked, but the citizens of Baltimore were ready to defend their city. British General Ross was killed in the attack, and all day on September 13th, the British fleet bombarded Fort McHenry at the entrance to the harbor. The spirited resistance on land and at the fort eventually discouraged the British, who ultimately withdrew. During the onslaught of shells and rockets against Fort McHenry, a 35-year-old Washington lawyer, Francis Scott Key, found himself aboard a British ship within sight of the fort. He had been asked to negotiate a prisoner exchange between the British and the Americans. After successful negotiations, however, he was advised by the British that it was all for naught, for the plan was to use the entire British fleet to attack Fort McHenry to force the Americans to drop to their knees and surrender. The sign of such a show of subservience to the British Empire could be accomplished without an attack if only the men at Fort McHenry would lower the American flag waving over the rampart. A writer of occasional verse, the son of a distinguished judge who had referred to the conflict as abominable and a lump of wickedness, and one who believed the war could have been avoided with diplomatic accommodation, Key was outraged by the British incursions into the Chesapeake Bay and the plan to attack a base that was also home to women and children. From the British vessel, Key anxiously watched the bombardment of Fort McHenry through the daylight hours of September 13. Key stated regarding the battle, "It seemed as though Mother Earth had opened up and was vomiting shot and shell in a sheet of fire and brimstone. As darkness descended, he could see little more than the red glare of the enemy's new gunpowder-propelled Congreve rockets tracing fiery arcs across the sky." He later wrote, "The heavens aglow were a seething sea of flame. The stormy night provided conditions of an angry sea, and the flag of truce sloop was tossed as though in a tempest." He was alarmed by bombs bursting in air, and he believed it to be unlikely the American resistance could withstand such a pounding. Then, when the mist dissipated, at dawn, September 14, he learned the outcome of the battle. "At last," he later wrote, "a bright streak of gold mingled with crimson shot athwart the eastern sky, followed by another and still another as the morning sun rose. Then he saw it, an American flag, enormous in its dimensions, fluttering in the breeze from the flagpole of the undefeated Fort McHenry. The fort had not fallen. Baltimore was safe. It was a most merciful deliverance." Seeing the stars and stripes still waving, Francis Scott Key wrote a poem on a piece of paper he pulled from his pocket. In his lodging at a Baltimore inn the following day, he polished the draft, creating four stanzas. His brother-in-law, Joseph Nicholson, a commander of a militia at Fort McHenry, printed the poem for distribution to the public titled Defense of Fort McHenry. The verse was accompanied by suggestion to the music of an old English drinking song. Within a week, the poem made it to the pages of the Baltimore Patriot newspaper, who pronounced it to be a beautiful and animating effusion that is destined long to outlive the impulse which produced it. Rechristened the Star-Spangled Banner soon after, Key's words were, within weeks, appearing in newspapers across America. More than a century would pass from its composition until in 1931, President Herbert Hoover officially proclaimed it to be the national anthem of the United States. Congress and Hoover gave the official song status gave the song official status as our national anthem on March 3, 1931. The flag that inspired Key's writing of the poem eventually made its way to the Smithsonian, where it is being painstakingly conserved in a climate-controlled laboratory where it serves as the centerpiece of an exhibition at the National Museum of American History. Now here's the words, the four verses of the Star-Spangled Banner. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare and bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave? On the shore dimly seen through the mists of the deep, where the foe's haughty host in dread silence reposes, what is what which the breeze o'er the towering steep? Is it fitfully blows, half conceals, half discloses? How it catches the gleam of the morning, first beam, in full glory reflected now shines in the stream. 'Tis the star-spangled banner, O long may it wave, o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. And where is it, is that band, who so vauntingly swore, that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home of a country should leave us no more? Their blood has washed out their foul footsteps' pollution, nor refuge could save the hireling and slave, but the terror of flight, or the gloom of the grave. And the star-spangled banner in triumph doth wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave. Oh, thus be it ever, when freemen shall stand between their loved homes and war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause is just, it is just. And this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave. Then later on in September, in Marietta, the Constitutional Association, we had our annual dinner with speakers. And Dr. Jeffrey Barkey was one of our speakers, and he brought down the house along with Steve Tuminello from the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. And then I went to Michigan. I had been invited to speak at the state Republican convention there in Michigan. Only got 20 minutes on stage, but it was a blessed 20 minutes. I sold a lot of books, and I reacquainted myself with Alan Keyes, who I hadn't talked to him in probably 20 years, and he remembered me. I was shocked. Alan Keyes, for those of you not familiar with who he ran for the state Senate against Barack Obama before Obama was president, and then he ran for president against Obama. He was one of the Republican candidates. Had him on my radio show back then quite a bit, got to know him quite a bit, and he remembered me, Political Pistachio. We spent some time talking, about 20 minutes talking after his speech. And my wife and I, enjoyed it. It was at the Mackinac Island, the Grand Hotel there on Mackinac Island. Somewhere in Time, the movie with Christopher Reeves, that was filmed there at that hotel. So we actually, when we got home, we watched that movie afterwards with Christopher Reeves and Jane Seymour somewhere in time, and we got a kick out of it because it was like, hey, we were in that room. Hey, we ate, you know, lunch there, and da-da. It was kind of funny. But anyway, so it was a great opportunity. And then after we got back, my website had finally gotten fixed and updated, and things were moving along. And I moved Political Pistachio from its old location at politicalpistachio.blogspot.com to its new location now through Revolution Harbor. And so politicalpistachio.com is where you go now for my blog. So in September, October in 2023, as my website moved over to the new DouglasVGibbs.com under Revolution Harbor, we saw, we saw Trump conviction, an attempt to try to convict Trump, all these, 91 charges emerging. The fire on Maui in Hawaii, and there's been a lot of question about that. And then with Hunter Biden, there was a lot of questions coming up. And A.G. Garland was appointed special counsel. And that case has been interesting. And I'm actually writing a book about all of that when it comes to the Biden family. So I'm not going to talk too much about it now. But in the next few weeks, hopefully I'll have a new book out regarding the Biden family. And we'll see how that goes. And then we saw in October of 2023 all the havoc going on in the House of Representatives that ultimately led to Mike Johnson becoming the new Speaker of the House. So they got rid of Kevin McCarthy. They brought in Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson impresses me. And we'll see how it all works out in the long run. But he says to Hannity, go pick up a Bible and read it. I mean, that when he talked about his faith. And he's one of, Trump's top backers. So, guy like Mike Johnson, a Speaker of the House, that strikes fear in the hearts of the hard left opponents of liberty. I'll tell you that right now. His voting record is mostly conservative. Mike Johnson is what they call an election denier. Because, he dares believe that there was irregularities, anomalies, and fraud in the 2020 election and every election pretty much since. He stood against the omnibus spending bills as far back as 2017. Social conservative constitutional lawyer. And so I was happy to see, I guess, Mike Johnson get that spot. Then we had Israeli forces had to get inside Gaza. Gaza had attacked Israel and with an unbelievable, dragging people out of their houses and killing them kind of thing. What had happened was Israel has this incredible, it has this incredible defense system, grid, computer, drones, you name it. And there was a cyber attack Iran and China and Russia behind it that brought down Israel's defenses and allowed the Hamas from Gaza to just walk in and kill Israelis. But what's been interesting about it is then as Israel goes to defend itself and it sends troops into Gaza, they're the ones being looked at as being the aggressors by a lot of the idiots out there. An amazing thing to say the least. So that's October, at least the end of October 2023. We still got about a little over 20 minutes left of the program. No, about 15 minutes left of the program. And we still have November, December. So let's tackle that right now. So you are listening to Mr. Constitution Hour by Douglas V. Gibbs on K-Praise and all of those podcast platforms out there, pretty much all of them. Just look up Mr. Constitution Hour by Douglas V. Gibbs. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Spotify. We're on Audible, Odyssey, Listen Notes, Amazon Prime, you name it. We're on like a dozen or two different platforms out there. Or you can go to DouglasVGibbs.com/radio. All right, so now the Democrats started calling for, in November and late October, began to call for Israel to agree to a ceasefire. Netanyahu said no, because here's the thing. If there's a ceasefire, it does nothing except for allow Hamas to reload. Prepare for their next attack. But Netanyahu said no, and my allies were saying no. But Democrat Party has an anti-Israel problem. They have, Tlaib was accusing, from the squad, was accusing Biden of supporting genocide, the Palestinians, by Israel, and the Democrats confronted you know, no vote House resolution condemning anti-Semitism lies and, you know, their base and all this other stuff and the what the colleges have been teaching. And so it's been amazing to say the least. Meanwhile, a Connecticut judge threw out election results and ordered a new primary after shocking evidence of Democrat ballot fraud. New Jersey Dems were charged with election fraud. This is in, once again, October of 2023, or November, I'm sorry. And so what we're seeing here is fraud continuing. Well, wait a second, Doug, you know, you're an election denier. Wait a second. If that's the case, then how is it that fraud keeps popping up? Over and over and over and over. So as we move through the year in November, once again, this is now I'm in November of 2023. This is our year in review, part two. Part one was last week. If you want to check it out, go back to the old archive, check it out. As we went through November, one of the things I noticed was that the news was getting even more interesting. As we moved through the month, the voices of craziness got louder. They're trying to do everything they can stop Trump. See, they're realizing that Trump is popular and that his voters, you know, want to get him back in office, and they don't have total control. They are afraid. If they weren't afraid, they wouldn't be trying to keep him off the ballot. If they weren't afraid, they would be willing to do everything they could to stop the Trump train. Anyway, so that was November. Thanksgiving also November. And I tell you what, it was pretty neat at the school that I teach at because they had a play about the pilgrims, you know, and the Indians and having the feast and all that. And I wrote the play. So it was very cool that the kids, there's an activities club on campus, did a play about Thanksgiving, and I was the one who wrote the play. Unfortunately, I was teaching another class in a different city when they did the play, and I showed up right as the play ended, so I missed it live, but I did get a chance to watch the video later, and the kids did a great job. It was a simple play, but, you know, I'll be honest with you, I was honored that when they wanted to do a play, they said, well, Mr. Gibbs, will you write the play? Sure. But, you know, it's kind of an honor, you know, that they believed in my my prowess as a historian. In November of 2023, also, a movie called The Fall of Minneapolis came out. And in that film, it showed all of the footage between George Floyd and Derek Chauvin. You know, and you heard Derek Chauvin had his knee on the neck of Floyd, and that's what killed him, right? The footage shows that that's exactly not what happened. It's a lie. And then it has previous footage in that film, The Fall of Minneapolis, of George Floyd's previous run-in with the cops and the kind of thing that was going on. And he's a dirtbag, and he had drugs in his system. And when he said, I can't breathe, he didn't say it while he was on the ground with the knee on his neck, as the George Floyd crazies all claimed. He said it before that even happened. It was because he was drugged up. He was having trouble breathing because of the drugs. Okay, so, and then evidence came out that the feds were tracking people in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, even those not even anywhere near the Capitol. One piece of evidence came out that they tracked a man traveling to a funeral near Washington, D.C. on January 6th. The Biden EPA was required to, Biden has decided his EPA, let me back up. Biden's EPA has decided that they will require the replacement of every lead pipe in America. Good luck. George Santos, the Republican who had a resume that he lied about in order to get elected, was removed from Congress. A constitutional rarity. It's only happened like six times in history. But Congress, the House of Representatives, does have the authority to expel a member with a two-thirds vote, and that's what they did. And the DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, quietly removed a video encouraging people to report family members for spreading disinformation online. What is this? Fascism? Nazi America? They claim Trump is the Nazi, but yet they're the ones who pull the Nazi moves. It is an amazing thing, to say the least. All right, so once again, this is Mr. Constitution Hour by Douglas V. Gibbs here on KPRZ, and I'm going through part two of 2023 in review. And we've watched in 2023, FBI's fall from grace, an economic collapse suddenly emerge on the horizon. Candace Owens got into it, calling all white liberals racist, and she was right, and I actually wrote an article about it. And then the question became, is the Hunter Biden indictment actually designed to protect Hunter and Joe? Because if Hunter is being under indictment, then guess what? He can't talk about certain things during the impeachment trial against, or inquiry, against Biden. The left also said that they're doing all they can to try to scare you out of voting for Trump. The one that came up in December 2023, that if Trump becomes president again, he'll exit NATO. Well, actually, I think that's a good idea. We should exit the United Nations while we're at it. But they're screaming, no, Trump president will be authoritarian. Who's the authoritarians? Isn't that just projection? And more studies are coming out about the reliability of electric vehicles, and the electric vehicles are not reliable whatsoever. In fact, according to the study that I talked about on my Constitution radio program, electric vehicles have 79% more reliability problems than gas vehicles. Even worse, hybrids, plug-in hybrids, 146% more problems than vehicles with traditional internal combustion engines. The conclusion is that electric vehicles are not the way to go. Oh, it gets better. I'll talk about it in a moment. And then finally, in December of 2023, Colorado removed Trump from the 2024 ballot. Question is that a constitutional? Can they do it? There is precedent of a hated Republican being removed from ballots before, 1860 election. Lincoln was on none of the Southern ballots. But the question is, can they remove him for insurrection? How can you remove someone from being guilty of insurrection if they've never been charged or convicted of it? I thought you're innocent until proven guilty. The GOP responded to the Colorado 2024 ballot regarding Trump and pushed back. Others then in Michigan, the same type of case went to their top court, but they struck it down and said, no, we're not going to remove Trump from the... Now, here's the thing. Trump was president of the United States when the election happened, when there was from his point of view and from the world's point of view, election fraud. I know you know that there was, but let me say it this way for the purpose of the argument. So what is your job as president of the United States, Mr. Trump? Oh, that's right, to make sure that the laws of the United States are executed, being properly executed and not being violated. So was he committing insurrection by questioning whether or not election laws were being properly followed, or was he performing his duty? And that's what it comes down to. Meanwhile, also, more evidence has come out that January 6th wasn't, in fact, a false flag, and exclusively on PoliticalPistachio.com and Constitution Radio and this show, I talked about how Antifa telegraphed what they were going to do. They telegraphed it. Back in 2017, they had a flyer out that I put on my website, PoliticalPistachio at Blogspot.com, which I then put it on for, and it says, hey, dress up with MAGA hats, pretend to be, so they telegraphed it. The electric car de-evolution, Audi is slashing EV production. Half of the Ford dealers refuse to sell electric vehicles. Minnesota public electric vehicles fail in cold weather. And electric cars were expected to cause chaos on the roads during the winter. We'll find out as we look more into that. And then Executive Order 13818 was extended. Continuation national emergency. You know, because with emergency powers, they can do whatever they want, whenever they want, because they want to. That's what they do. And then finally, as we approach Christmas, we had satanic displays popping up, one in Iowa, for example. and that caught a lot of attention. Are the Satanists on the move in this country? Christianity is under attack. Christmas and individualism is under attack. New York City attacked Sunday by passing a law saying that restaurants have to be open 7 days a week. So are they saying that Chick-fil-A is not allowed to take Sunday off and be closed on Sunday to observe their Christian faith? And what about the homosexual connection to the anti-God agenda? I talked about all that on my radio shows. Now, that all said, that's the end of the year. We got to through 2023, and now we are in 2024. It's a new year, and it's an election year. And I've got new books right on the horizon. So watch for my new books. One of them is about U.S. history. The new book is titled A Promise of Truth, Self-Evident. And then I have a new book on Biden's crimes and family secrets. And that one I should have out real soon, too. And we've got a new book on the U.S. presidents I'm working on. And part three on the history book, Truth, Self-Evident. So it should be out by the summer. And, of course, I've got my book that challenges CRT, BLM, and the 1619 Project. I changed the title. It was going to be the 1607 Project. It's going to be called The Black Monolith after a friend of mine, Cicely Davis, actually gave me that information. Black Monolith, all things must be black. Yeah, well, that's what's going on. All right, so thank you for listening. United we stand, combined we kick butt. God bless America. My friends, God bless you. Don't forget, once again, DouglasVGibbs.com. Donate to the show. Donate to my efforts. We are facing a $4,000 deficit right now in keeping these programs alive. So please help. And I'll once again, at DouglasVGibbs.com, we'll also get a grid up there for how you can donate. And thank you for spending the year with me. Now, once again, we're in the new year, 2024. Welcome to the new year. My name is Douglas V. Gibbs, Mr. Constitution. This has been a Mr. Constitution Douglas V. Gibbs production. And I want to thank all of you because I would not be on the air if it wasn't for you. Your support, your listenership, that's what keeps this show strong. Constitution classes throughout Southern California. And hopefully this year I might travel somewhere near you. See me when I do an event. All right, so happy new year now. Let's look forward to 2024, and let's restore our republic. Bye-bye now.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.